is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org. Home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on today. We have a great topic that stirs up a lot of controversy in the autism community. Is the question of the week on social media was, what is the biggest misconception about autism? And I know there was a lot of responses that you got from many, many families, you know, that responded to this question, because this is a big thing, and it really goes back to awareness for sure. So I don't know, Lynn, if you want to share a few key ones with us first.
Okay.
We could talk about.
Sure. One person said that all autistic people are violent. I agree with that one. That's a big misconception. They're not all violent. Second person, someone else said that autistic people have no empathy. Totally not true. Okay. The next person said the biggest misconception is that my daughter cannot understand people, and that's ignorant. I think she meant that people think that is ignorant.
Right, yeah.
I think it's that all kids with autism are going to be violent if not treated with therapy. This is another person. I think that all kids with autism are going to be violent if not treated with therapy. I've heard that from so many people. If you don't get him in behavior therapy, he's going to be violent. And I'm like, I don't understand that. I shake my head. They don't know. I think a lot of things, too, about autism just in general, Paul, is like you just don't know. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there are no definites, and we've talked about this before.
Because it goes back to the spectrum. It's such a broad spectrum, and every kid is so different.
Right.
You know, it's like, I always like to say this, but, you know, people used to say, you know, back when Jonathan was diagnosed with autism, they thought Rain Man right away.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then they say things like, savants. Oh, he's going to be a savant.
Yeah,
you know, that was a great myth.
Oh,
he'll have a special talent and,
this
and that.
Right. Yeah.
And autism is a blessing, and I've heard all that stuff,
right.
You know, to us. And another one, too, like a misconception, a lot of times people will say, oh, wow, he's really smart, you know, like, you know, but that doesn't, you know, a lot of those kids, it doesn't equate to their intellectual, abilities. It's usually their cognitive abilities. Or vice versa, you know, and it also depends where the child, you know, or kid falls on the spectrum. Like I said, like our child, you know, are both nonverbal. So
right.
They have, you know, a lot of challenges, whereas you might have a higher functioning, child on the spectrum who has full, you know, speech and language and is able to communicate, but yet lacks, you know, the social skills to either have friends or have appropriate behaviors or, you know, appropriate dialect when they speak to someone, you know. you know, and also people used to say, oh, well, kids with autism like being alone. Well, that's not true either.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing.
True.
Remember people say, well, you know, he'll probably just go and play by himself. No, they want to have friends. They don't know how to make friends a lot of times.
Well, that I think actually for me, that was the biggest shocker when they told me that Michael had autism at you know, almost two, because he was such a friendly baby. So like my only perception of autism was Rain Man, like anybody else back in 2002 or whatever. We didn't really know that much about it, 2003, whatever. And he was like the friendliest baby. I mean, friendlier than my typical daughter was, like saying hi to everybody, waving, like loved to be with. We had a little play group going. He was a year old. He got very excited when he saw other kids, you know. So I was like, when she said that she thought he might be autistic, I was like, what? It's like autistic kids don't want to be, you know, have friends and aren't like so friendly and happy, you know, happy. He was always such a happy kid, happy baby, you know, like I didn't. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, people don't understand that. Like, we were just shocked. Like, we were just like, oh, my God, like, how could this be? You know, we didn't even believe her at the beginning. You know, we were like, this doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, that's true.
So, of course, you know, as time goes on, I mean, and then I had Amanda, and she was more afraid of strangers, so that was more typical. Whereas Michael would go to anybody and be happy and smiley, whereas Amanda would cling to me a little bit more. She would sense someone who's not in the family, you know, and that sense of safety and whatever she knew, whereas Michael did not. So then, you know, looking back, I see a difference. But he was just, and even now, he still loves to see people, and he's just a very people person. If he could speak, he would totally love it. He loves to see kids, any kid. He always did, and I always had him with kids because he liked it so much, and it made him happy. I mean, he never could play typically with them, and that makes, you know, at a certain point, it starts getting really awkward. You know, I remember when he was young, just to have, you know, try to set play dates. At the beginning, when he was a baby and young, you know, no one really cared. But then as he started getting older and he couldn't play typically with them, it was kind of awkward. I couldn't really do anything with him. You know, it was hard, very hard.
Right. No, absolutely. You know? I mean, I guess, you know, there's so many kids with autism that really do want to make that social connection, I believe, and they just need to be taught, you know.
Right.
And a lot of times I know my son will invite me into his world, you know, whether he wants to read a story or watch a movie with me or whatever he wants to do,
mm-hmm.
he'll come and get me, you know, he wants to do something. Another misconception is big, and this was a lot of parents responded with this, is that autism is a result of bad parenting. This is a rough one because we've had some parents, you know, be told in supermarkets and public places that, you know, oh, if they were better parents, you know, their child would not have autism. Like that was back in the early, I believe it was in the 1950s. They called it cold mother, I think I read somewhere. And it was caused by unloving mothers. And it was strange, really strange, thing that they were talking about, you know, it's an invisible disability, you know, when the child had a, you know, meltdown in public and the parent was judged because it's just lack of control of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to say that a lot.
Yeah, I have an interesting story about that. I don't know if I've mentioned this on air or not, but when Michael was first diagnosed by this doctor, she said that to me, actually, believe it or not, this was like 2003 again. Like I said, he was 18 months, it was the 18 month old checkup. And she said to me, you have to get in his face or he's going to, I'm not kidding you, Paul, word for word. You have to get in his face and play with him or he'll develop autism. That's what she said.
Wow.
This is my first child. I'm trying so hard to just adjust to being a mother.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, like, what are you talking? Like, I was freaking out. I was like, I can't believe this, you know? And I felt like a horrible, horrible mother. And, you know, later on, you know, my relatives who had kids already were like, no, don't even listen to that. It's ridiculous. It has nothing to do with parenting, even if he does have autism. You know, luckily I had people that, you know,
supported
told me, like, don't even listen to that. But, I mean, I will never forget that. That was just a horrible thing to say to me because I felt like a bad mother because I wasn't the type of mother who sat on the floor and played with him. That was just not me. And you know what? I didn't do that with Amanda either, and she's fine, you know? So, I mean, that's just not my personality. I'm not one of those playful. So I really did feel like a terrible mother.
Right, right. She made you feel almost like guilty, like you did something wrong, you know?
Right.
And they should
and
never
develop
do that.
Autism. I mean, how does it
that's
develop
crazy.
Autism?
Yeah, that's
you know, that's another thing that she said that's not even wrong, not even correct. This is a doctor, and she's still practicing, but that's another story.
Right.
But,
some people say, you know, that autism, you know, kids with autism can't express their emotion or understand feelings, and that's like a really big misconception.
Yeah, she has no empathy. Yeah.
You know, they can be happy, they can be sad, they can be angry, you know, and it might be angry because they're frustrated, or they feel sad because they're frustrated, or, you know, I know, like, you know, Jonathan, you know, if someone cried, had tears, he wanted to wipe the tears off the face, you know. You know, or he'd give a hug. He knows when we're upset.
Oh, totally.
Believe me, he does.
In fact, I think if anything, I think we said this before, our kids are even more in tune sometimes to emotion.
They do, and feeling, for sure. I believe that.
Or talk to Amanda loud or something, Michael thinks it's him. I can't explain to him that it's not him. He freaks out and starts crying and, like, leaves the room. So he doesn't even understand that I'm not even talking to him.
Right. So no, because he just hears the emotion in your voice.
And he's
probably very in tune to that, actually. You know, and the other one, too, Lynn, is real big, and you know this one. You know, people say, oh, are you sure he has autism? He looks normal, you know. I've had that from so many people.
I hear that from people. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that from so many of my friends, but I never personally had that. But, yeah, it's a weird thing to say to someone. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, you know, because they look at him, oh, he looks fine. You know, he looks...
Right.
I've had that happen to us many years ago when he was much younger, you know, and you know, he would smile and, oh, you know, well, you know, he doesn't look like he has autism. And I've had people say that to me, and I'm like, well, yeah, he has autism. He's not verbal. You know, he can't communicate.
Right.
And it's just, you know, those are one of those things, you know, that
I had an early intervention person actually say to me, I don't know what your kid has, but he definitely doesn't have autism. This is a professional.
Wow.
Early intervention. She came to play with him, like, once a week or whatever. I don't know what he has, but he's definitely not autistic, she said. I mean,
wow.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's bad. Yeah.
To get with the program.
And they're supposed to be experts, you know, these people that are coming out.
And I'm like, okay.
Well, you know, I don't think today you're probably hearing that as much as when you and I, our children were little, first diagnosed, because things have improved. But still, there's a lack of, you know, knowledge out there. You know, you were talking a little bit earlier is how doctors interact with kids.
Right.
You know, it goes back to there's still so much that needs to be taught to the world about our kids.
Right.
Because if we can do that and make that connection to the rest of the world, I mean, one of our things, and you know, one of the T-shirts that we had was, you know, we thought we'd have to teach our child about the world. It turns out that we actually have to teach the world about our child.
Yes.
You know.
So,
I mean, you know, it just makes perfect sense. You know, I remember people said, oh, you know, he has autism. He wouldn't want to be touched. And, you know, and that's so not true. He loves to be a little snuggle bug. He loves the hug.
Oh, yeah.
He likes giving hugs. You know, they used to say, you know, children with autism don't feel love, which goes back to, like, you know, being touched. It's like these were some crazy things that were told to us. When he was a baby, you know, he'll never learn to love. He'll never want to be touched. You know, all these things.
That's horrible. Yeah.
And I just remember that. And, you know, unfortunately, those things stick with you. And you're talking, you know, almost 12 years ago, you heard these things. You know,
well,
actually,
well,
no, about 11 years ago.
The only thing with this person said that her daughter cannot understand people. That's a misconception. But on the other hand, I just want to point out, and this is always my pet peeve with Michael. Michael really can understand a lot of things. I've said it on the air, but again, these are two severe nonverbal kids, okay, but completely different, you know. So her daughter obviously can understand a lot. Michael is very limited in his understanding. So this has always been a huge issue for me because people think, I think maybe the majority of kids on the autism spectrum can understand. Michael's processing is very weak. So his processing of the language is really, really weak, and I had to argue with the pediatrician about this, literally had an argument with him because he was insisting that my child knew what he was saying, and I said, he has no idea what you're saying. He has no idea what you're saying. It took me forever to realize that. But even now, Michael's very limited, so he only knows what he's been taught through therapy.
Right. And certain things that you teach him at home as well, I'm sure. You know,
usually you can repeat. You know, if you have to repeat it 50 million times, he gets it, you know. But that's why I do get so much help for him, because he needs that constant repetition, and, you know, that's the way he learns. That's the only way he can learn, you know, because I know some people say that ABA, you know, and a lot of people don't like ABA therapy. Like this person was saying, you know, they're not going to be violent. I never heard this, but she said they're not going to be violent if treated with therapy. I don't know about that.
Well, myth was people used to say that people that had autism are violent, which is not true. There are kids with autism that are violent, and there's kids that are violent that don't have autism. So that's a very silly statement. And this was actually, they did a whole PBS broadcast back in, I believe it was 2006 or 2007. And they had a show, and they talked about those kind of things, you know, where they were saying, you know, individuals with autism are violent and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And, you know, they were talking about, we talked about the savant, and they were talking about autism, you know, have mental disabilities and, you know, all these different things, you know, they were saying, which turns out a lot of them are not true.
Right.
You know, and
well, actually,
when we started
that Hope Saves the Day page, and we just recently, if people have been checking it out, we had a couple of interesting posts of people that they were told the child could never do this, that, or the other thing, and the child did do it. I think it was someone just wrote about their daughter or son, I can't remember, reading for the first time, read Dr. Seuss book, and the mother was told that your child will never learn how to read.
I think that's the problem in general, Lynn, and this is for everyone. I mean, including myself. I had my guidance counselor, like I always like to say, my lack of guidance counselor told me I would never go to culinary school. I wanted to go to CIA, and basically told me, oh, well, it's not for you. You know, oh, it's a very hard school. It's very intense. You know, you don't have the grades. You know, you don't have this. You know, I was told.
That's horrible.
And so, you know, if I would have listened to that person, I would never be where I am today. So it's amazing how people put limits on your child, especially in the educational system.
Right.
And they label your child, which is really bad.
It's horrible.
You know, and I understand, okay, and you have to have, unfortunately, you know, you have to have a label to get services. So your child has to be diagnosed with autism, and there's certain criteria they have to, you know, meet to, you know, get the diagnosis, and then they get services. But the thing is, they shouldn't put limiting factors on your kid and say your kid will never do this and your kid will never do that.
The word never should never
be. You know, it should never be in a vocabulary, period. Because just when you think you say never, it happens. And
exactly.
And we've had, you know, guests on the show, you know, who thought their daughter never understood a word. And then turns out she understood just about everything they were saying for all those years.
But she
couldn't talk, so she couldn't communicate that.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes you have to remember that just because we think they don't understand, they may be understanding more than we think, too.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes I think, you know, we do that and we're at fault. We're like, well, he doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand that. And then you turn out like a year or two later, you see a behavior. You know, I've seen it myself and my son and like, wow, he's doing that on his own. Like all of a sudden, like out of the blue. And you're like, it shocks you. So, you know, they're constantly surprising us, I think, every day, these kids.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then the other thing you hear about, and I've heard this from several people, and, you know, when they're not labeled, like our kids are nonverbal, but we don't know how long they're going to be nonverbal for. I mean, there are some people that say this, their kids start talking at, you know, a certain age, and you don't know. You don't know that he's
Well, that's it. There could be just something, one day, something just clicks, and it just, and the
really
floodgates open, you know. You know, we always talk about this. Like Jonathan did have some words as a baby, you know, and then he lost his speech, regressed, and had no more speech. So, you know, of course, as a parent, your goals and your hope is to say, well, maybe it's possible because he did have some words. He can talk again. And every once in a while, he'll squeak out a word, you know, and then you're like, oh, my God. And then all of a sudden it disappears and goes away and you never hear anything again.
Yeah.
So, you know, that gives you hope, which is good. I mean, it's a good thing. Like I said, he could be 15 years old and all of a sudden start to talk one day. You never know. You know, but he has come a long way. The bottom line is that, you know, a lot of things that were told to us that he wouldn't be able to do, he's doing now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying. I think there should be never, I don't care how professional your opinion is. I don't care, you know, how qualified a teacher or expert is, should never put a label on a child and say the word can't or won't.
Yeah,
should never
be
used.
I remember my father saying to me, you never, ever give up on a child. I think I had said that
yes,
a couple times.
Yes, absolutely. I know. I've
in my head, because he was a teacher. and he, you know, because a child is constantly developing, and even the people that I speak to a lot of people online who have older kids, like, you know, young adults, and I said, well, and I asked them for guidance. I'm like, well, when do you start giving up hope? And I remember somebody saying to me, you never give up hope.
Nope.
Never.
Absolutely
never.
Not.
They could be 20, 30 years old. You don't give up hope, you know? You can't. Because if you give up hope, what are they going to feel like?
Well, that's it. They know. And like I said, they know. They know how you feel a lot of times. They know what's going on. They're aware of many different things that sometimes we have no idea they're aware about.
Right.
And they all of a sudden, they surprise you out of nowhere sometimes. And I'm sure it's happened to you on occasions,
yeah.
Many times where you're like, I can't believe Michael just did that. Like,
you're
in awe and shock. Like, wow, he just figured something out that I never thought in a million years he'd be able to do.
Right.
I know you go back to a lot of times you talk about the iPad. You never thought I would do an iPad at all.
No, now, I mean, and that was a huge thing this year, the speech. He actually got a little award.
And you know, he just all of a sudden take off with it one day, and you never know.
Well, I said, like, this year has been a huge jump, and, you know, another thing, we had talked about before, people said puberty, he's going to be violent, blah, 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 and meanwhile, he's, like, more calm. Actually, I'm interested to see what happens with Jonathan, because Michael calmed down a lot.
Right.
It's the opposite with him.
Yeah, I hope Jonathan calms down, because he's definitely running us ragged, for sure.
I'm not kidding you. Like, Michael definitely, like, really mellowed a lot. Okay. It's the strangest thing, because everybody told me he's going to get violent and aggressive, and meanwhile, it's the complete opposite.
Huh.
So, you know, he's more like my side now. He's more chill. He's more, you know, mellow and just kind of like not as much energy, not as much, you know, hyperactivity.
Well, I think this is a great topic that we talk about, some of the biggest misconceptions about autism.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to hear from everyone in the autism community for sure about this topic. And, you know, we thank them for being a part of it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, if someone's listening to the show that has a child with autism or recently diagnosed, they might say, wow, well, you know, there's hope for me. And that's our goal. That's our goal here, and to get that message across. So, you know, we thank everybody for being a part of that, as always. Just want to get out there, Lynn. Don't forget, Autism Radio. We have our annual casino night Friday, September the 18th. We're really pumped up to have this event. Very, very excited. It's from 7 to 11 at the Bethwood in Totowa, New Jersey. It's $95 per person, but we're offering a special right now. You can get two tickets, a couple special. You can bring a friend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, whatever it might be. A two-ticket special for $150, plus we're throwing in $150 in casino chips. This offer expires September 4th, so you definitely want to jump in on this while you can. Deal, guys. You get a full buffet, an open bar. You get $75 each in casino money, tons of great prizes, silent auctions. We have a DJ there. And don't forget, Sports Minded Unlimited is bringing the former New Jersey Devil, three-time Stanley Cup champion winner, Kenny Danico, is going to be there in person. So you have a great chance to meet and greet with Kenny Danico for all your big hockey fans out there, and Devil fans especially, to meet the great Kenny Danico. He also hosts on MSG, you know, Hockey Night, and so everybody does know who he is pretty much if you're a hockey fan. So we look forward to having him be a part of our event. We have some tremendous prizes coming, too. We have a authentic used guitar in concert by the man himself from New Jersey, Jon Bon Jovi, signed by Jon Bon Jovi. So that's going to be on display. You have a chance to make a bid on it and possibly win and own a piece of rock and roll memorabilia, like an actual guitar played in a concert by Jon Bon Jovi himself. So very unique item. You don't want to miss out on something like that. Also have some tremendous movie stuff. We have a autographed movie poster from the movie Casino, signed by Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, and Sharon Stone, and many others from the cast. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that. And we also have some other great stuff there as well. So be sure to go to autismradio.org and go to our events and purchase your tickets today. Like I said, we have a special right now. Two tickets for $150 plus $150 in casino chips. And this offer expires on September the 4th. So you definitely don't want to miss out on this, guys. I know Lynn and I will be there with our families and many other family members. So definitely, you know, If you want to come by and say hello, you know, it's a great time to have a little meet and greet with all of us and in the autism community. So
let us know how you like the show and everything, and our website and all the great programs that we offer. It's going to be really fun.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, Lynn. You know, I've had, you know, done a lot of episodes, obviously, on the program over the years, and I go to events, and sometimes every once in a while I meet somebody who, you know, has been listening to me for many years, and they're like, wow, you know, finally meet you in person. They almost get like starstruck, which is kind of funny to me.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It's pretty ironic, but, you know, I'm just a regular guy. I always say I'm a dad and on a mission here to make the world a little bit of a better place, and that's our goal, is to help some families and, you know, continued the support of the autism community and to support the autism community as well. But we'd like to thank everyone, as always, for continued support here on the program. Don't forget, our closing song today is Hope Saves the Day, which is written by myself, Paul Simmons. It's available on iTunes. So by you downloading that song, you're making a contribution to the autism community. It's 99 cents on iTunes. So basically, you're giving a dollar to the organization. So it's a win-win for everybody. It's a very passionate song, so hopefully you enjoy it. So I'd like to say goodbye and wish everybody a great week as always. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. Remember, hope saves the day. I want to show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me, yeah. Then you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice, and remember, hope saves the day.